Thank you, Father, for bringing us together around your word. We thank you for your faithfulness, for your promises, for the love that you've shown us in bringing us into your kingdom. And we pray that you would guide our hearts and minds through the study this morning, that you would challenge and motivate us to trust you more deeply, more fully in each and every day. And we pray that you would minister to those mentioned in prayer this morning in their areas of need. For we thank you and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So we were on the concept of faith as it pertains towards the Father, God being our Father. And this being one of the more critical doctrines to really comprehend, to have impressed upon our hearts and our minds, to have success and prosperity as well as victory in the angelic conflict. And when we're talking about success and prosperity, you know, of course, most of us think of in the material world, but God's concept of success and prosperity isn't always what humans view as success and prosperity. Ultimately, you know, as we were learning about in the last couple of weeks, the true concept of success and prosperity comes about from our relationship with God, from our development of our new nature to becoming that perfected form that God is shaping us to be. That is true success. That is true prosperity. And trumps all of the money and the things and the houses and the toys. Like, all of that means nothing compared to spiritual prosperity, spiritual success. And this doctrine that the people of God must ask God for whatever they want in life. Whatever it is that we want to see done in our lives, this concept of faith towards the Father, we need to go to Him for those things. That's one thing to have biblical or right desires to know God, to see, you know, God's word go out into the world and to see people saved, to want right things, to see them instituted in one's own life. But it's another thing altogether to actually see them come to be, to come into reality. And even unbelievers recognize right principles. There's some atheists that maybe they're moral individuals. They're not out there, you know, carousing and getting drunk and sleeping around, but maybe they want to see good things for society. You know, they want to see society prosper in the human sense. But we as believers, we have a different focus, and wanting to see things come to pass and seeing them actually happen are two incredibly different things. A believer wants to be successful in life, or wants to prosper, wants to have victory in the angelic conflict, wants to see communities and nations founded on biblical principles. But wanting them is never enough. Wanting them is good, and it may be the right thing to want them, but merely wanting them does not cause them to happen, to come to be. Now, the word want, it has several meanings. This English word want, four-letter word. But all of the meanings surrounding the word want all have kind of a common thread, though. Let's look at the definition here. The first is to feel a need or desire for something, a wish for it. To want one's dinner, to always be wanting something new. These concepts of craving and requiring something. Number two is to wish, need, crave, demand, or desire. I want to see you, or I want to be with you. He or she wants to be notified of any changes of whatever it is. Number three, to be without or to be in deficit of. So to want judgment, to want to see justice, to want to see justice done, to want knowledge. Now these indicate that there's something that you're lacking, that you don't have, to be in deficit of, and so you want whatever that is. To fall short, sometimes by a specific amount, like the bill's $50, I've got 48, I'm want of $2. Or in Daniel 5:27, where it says, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. This is named Belshazzar, King Belshazzar, after he'd seen God's hand write the words on the wall. And one of those words indicated that he had been found lacking in his leadership, lacking in his spiritual life and his guidance of the nation that he ran. And want, number five, is something that is required or a need. Like we might say, the car wants a tune-up. The car is in need of a tune-up. The car requires a tune-up. Now, the common thread between all of these definitions is the idea of lacking something. There's something that we need, there's something that we desire, something we want to have, but we don't yet possess it. You don't wish for or desire or crave something that you already presently have. And if we had it, we'd no longer have it on our list of wishes or wants. And we've all heard the old saying, wish in one hand and we'll say spit in the other and see which one fills up. Oh yeah. How's it feel to want? Many people feel like if they just want it hard enough or bad enough that they'll eventually get what it is that they desire. The problem is that wanting something is not an active concept. It's more of an expression of an emotional condition or state of being that describes the lack of having the desired thing or result. The issue is how? How do we get from point A to point B, from wanting, desiring biblical things, to actually seeing them come to be? And the answer is, we must ask God our Father for them. Nothing happens on earth without God directing or permitting it to happen. All of the good and all of the bad, those things are either directly caused by God or permitted, allowed. But both categories fall under His will. So it is His will to cause something or allow something to be. Nothing on earth happens without God's direct or permissive will. Satan even had to ask God to attack Job. And that was in Job 1:9-12. And then, of course, Satan also asked God to sift believers as wheat. That's Luke 22:31. Jesus tells Simon, Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded, or the actual word is to ask, he has asked for permission to sift you all as wheat. Asking the Father is in itself an expression and manifestation of our faith. The believer hears the teaching on a doctrine such as, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. That's Hebrews 4:16. So the believer hears that doctrine, accepts it, applies faith to it, and then that faith motivates the believer to action. And that action is to go to the Father and ask Him for whatever he needs. Now, most believers do this incidentally from time to time, but don't really understand the immense importance and necessity of asking the Father for every single thing that we need in our lives. Every spiritual blessing, every single provision is available to us as Christians when we ask God. If we do not have, James 4:2-3. Let's see here. We're told that if we don't have something, if we do not have, it's because we do not ask. And if we have asked, according to our own desires, fleshly desires, our lusts, then that would be another reason why we haven't received what we asked for. For if we ask for things in accordance to God's will, He will give them to us, and He will cause them to come to pass, to come to be here on earth in our life. And what many of us have failed to see is that wanting these things to happen is not enough. We have to ask for them. We have to recognize and believe the importance and significance of the countless of examples that we've seen in the Old Testament and the New. People of God on earth asking God for what it is that they need. What do we want? Children? A home? Marriage? Happiness, prosperity, success, fulfillment for our nation to be under biblical principles, tactical victory over Satan in the angelic conflict, things concerning our community, wisdom, health and healing, both of our souls and our bodies, healing of scar tissue of our souls, healing of families. Many believers have sought to implement these things, these right principles, these ideas and desires that seem good on the surface, the wrong way. Many use power, coercion, manipulation, politics, force. And we fail to see that they've arrogantly refused to do the one thing that we're actually told is effective and has the right outcome, and that's to ask God for these things and let Him do it in His time, in His way. Now we see this principle fully established in the relationship that Jesus Christ, the Son, had with God, His Father. Not only during His life here on earth in the flesh, but prior to that, prior to His incarnation in eternity past, at some point prior to everything that went on that is recorded in the Gospels, he still had this asking the Father relationship. Concerning this, in Psalm 2, 7 through 9, it says, I will proclaim the decree of Yahweh, he said to me. You are my son, today I've become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. We see that the principle of asking the Father is even applied to the Son as well. So if it applied to him, this tells us that it's a universal principle, a law of the universe, an axiomatic law at work in the universe. And it applies to us as well. And I mentioned like physics, you know, there's hard, fast rules of physics and math. The kids, they learn the orders of operation in math, acronym PEMDAS. Do the parentheses, then the exponents, then the multiplication, the division, the addition, subtraction. Rowan's giving me the thumbs down. Hates math. But what happens if you don't do the order of operations in the order that is dictated? You will never get the result that you need. You'll never get the correct answer. And in the same way, if we're trying to accomplish things in our lives on our own or using wrong methods and means, we're not going to get the desired result. We need to do it the right way. It's just how things are done. This is how God has set it up. So all things come to us from the Father, who gives them to us in grace as a present, but we must ask him for these things. And that's James 1, 5. Oh, that's not it. James 1, 5, 17, and 18. I guess I didn't copy that one down. But if you want to look that up on your own, that was James 1, 5, 17, and 18. I had intended to copy that down. So we, the redeemed of Christ here on earth, exist as his people as a result of the Son asking the Father for us. A kingdom, a people to rule, a bride, a dominion. All as a result of Christ asking the Father. In John 6:37, Christ said that the Father had given him a people, and that all of these people would come to him, and that he would never reject them. We also see the Holy Spirit was given to us as a result of Christ asking the Father to give us the Holy Spirit. That was in John 14:16. In John 17, the Lord's Prayer to the Father, asking him for many things concerning us. This is where I finally actually got it printed up. We see in verse 11 that he asked the Father to protect us and that we would be one, to be unified. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. This concept of unification. Romans 15:6 kind of fleshes that out a little bit. 15:5-6. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify God and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This concept of unity, of being united in Christ to God and with one another, to have the same heart, mind, and sentiment, to be a cohesive group, not to have strife amongst each other. And he says, to protect us from the evil one. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Now, why not take us out of the world? Well, there's a lot of growth that God is causing to happen in us, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. We don't get the same growth that God wants us to have if we're just taken out of it. There's a lot of things that he's trying to develop to show to us, and that's all part of God's plan and will and forming us into who he wants us to be. And he prayed that we would be sanctified by doctrine. Verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify, that's to be separated from, to be separated from the world, from the flesh, from the devil. And then he prayed that we would live with Christ and see his glory. Verse 24, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. So this principle of asking the Father for the things that we want, of course not limited to material things, but spiritual things as well, this has been handed down to us by Christ. John 16, 23b reads, I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And then John 14, 3 and 4, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. So asking the Father is much more important than we really imagine. We know that we're to go to God in prayer, but if we haven't seen the significance of actually asking him for all of these little things, nothing happens until we do it. I don't know all of the reasons. I talked about this last week, that you know, we figure God knows what's on the inside, and for me, that it became a struggle to even pray, because what am I going to say that he doesn't already know? He knows my heart. So I don't know, you know, exactly why it has to be that way, but that it's just the way he's established it. Death was at David's door, and nothing was being done about it until David prayed to the Father asking him for help. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. That's Psalm 18, verse 6. It's very clear that we must ask the Father in Jesus' name for everything that we need. Anything that we would like in life. And from the standing from standing up against Satan and the angelic conflict to our own individual souls' needs and fulfilling our biblical desires. And we've seen that with the relationship of God, the Father, and the Son. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Again, that was Psalm 2:8. And Christ did ask the Father for these things, and after going through the intense suffering that was necessary to get them, he has and will receive all of the things that the Father has promised. But it's interesting that the Father is the one that brought up this matter, showing that it was his desire as well. Remember that it was the Father that did the planning, but it was the Son who executed the plan. And Christ asked his Father for us and many other wonderful things, and the Father granted them to him. But it was the Son who worked it out, doing what was necessary to accomplish it, because that's his role in the Godhead. And so we need to see this principle that governs the universe and how important that it is. We need to believe it. We need to act upon it in faith. And we act upon it by asking the Father for everything that we want or need in life. And we'll go ahead and pause here and pick up about 11:15 to finish up the morning. Just bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for the message this morning. We pray that you would help us to put these things into action in our lives, to put feet to our faith and actually apply these things. And we just thank you and we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.